This guy is so excited because through his company, he wins a ticket to the Super Bowl. But when he actually gets to the game, he finds out that his ticket is in the last row of the farthest corner of the end zone. He's literally closer to the blimp than he is to the field. He has to use binoculars to be able to see the action. Now he notices about the 23rd row, there is, and it's on the 50-yard line, there is an empty seat. So all through the first quarter, he kind of keeps noticing this empty seat. So he thinks to himself, what can it hurt? So he slips past a few security guards, walks down to the 23rd row, and he asks the man that's sitting beside this empty seat, is anyone sitting here? And he says, no, help yourself. He plops himself down. He literally cannot believe his good fortune. And he's saying out loud, who on earth would have a ticket to a seat like this at the Super Bowl and not use it? The man turned and said, well, actually, that ticket belongs to me. It was for my wife. She recently passed away. This is going to be our first Super Bowl in 27 years that we have not come together. Man said, I am really sorry, but I have to be honest, I'm really surprised that you could not get a relative or a close friend to come with you. He said, you know, they'd all decided to go to the funeral. I suspect that some of you have felt like that man, that your life is not where it is supposed to be. I don't even mean that you're in an evil place or a bad place. I just mean sometimes we have this sense about us that our life is not where it should be. Have you ever had the sense that you're not doing what you were meant to be doing? Maybe that's because you have a call waiting. Today, the first Sunday of this new year, I'm starting a new series, and we're going to look at some of the great calling passages of the Bible. But what I want to do today is just introduce you to the idea that God calls people. One of the most important things to know about God is that He is a revealing God. In other words, it's consistent with His character to make His existence and His will known to people. And aren't we glad of that? Because what could we know about God if He did not choose to let us know it? But the Bible says our God reveals Himself. He does it through the creation. He does it through the Scripture. We call Scripture the revelation of God. He does it through life circumstances. He does it through supernatural miracles. He reveals Himself through the actions of people. And He reveals Himself through the Holy Spirit, whom He gives to all who believe in Christ. And of course, the preeminent way that God has revealed Himself to us is in Jesus. It is in Jesus that we see and know who God is and what He's like. And when God reveals Himself, He always expects a response. You will not find a single time in the Bible that God revealed something about who He is to a person and God did not expect a response. When God reveals Himself, He expects you to respond. And the response is often referred to in the Bible as a calling. The God of the Bible is a God who calls. And His calls usually disrupt the lives of settled people. His calls typically come with a mission that is going to involve inconvenience and even risk. His calls tend to preempt any agenda for your life that you had entertained up to that point. So he calls Abraham and says, leave your family, leave your country, start walking. I'll tell you when you need to stop. And he calls Moses and he says, leave your flocks and go back to Egypt. I've got a message I need you to deliver to Pharaoh. And we just got through a season where we saw that God called Mary and said, I need you to bear a son that only the Holy Spirit can create. And Jesus walks up to fishermen and he says, put your nets down and follow me. Everything changes when you answer the call. But here's what we're going to see as we study this material. Not everybody in the Bible answered the call. God calls some people and they don't pick up the phone. I wonder where you're at today. In my upbringing in the churches of Christ, typically our tradition would say, well, God just doesn't call anyone anymore. He used to do that back in the Bible days, but he does not do that today. That view is inconsistent with who God is. It is God's nature to reveal himself. That does not change. And I think a lot of people would say, well, I know God calls people, but God only calls special people. He calls apostles. He calls prophets. He probably calls preachers and probably even calls missionaries. Maybe in a few countries, he calls people to be martyrs, but I'm just an average guy. God doesn't call people like me. Friend, I believe the Bible teaches differently. I believe that God calls all of us. He asks all of us to reorient our lives around a new version of reality. The problem is not that God has stopped calling. It is, in fact, that many of us are not listening or answering. I want to share with you quickly three calls that I believe everyone in this room needs to answer. The first is the most important. We are called to be saved. God's most important call is to believe the gospel and trust in his son, Jesus. And you shouldn't expect any other call from God until you answer this one. And this is a universal call. It is a whosoever call. Now, I know for centuries Christians have debated whether or not God calls everybody. And some say, no, he doesn't. He only calls the elect, and the non-elect don't get called to be saved. I do not believe that the Bible teaches that. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. In Mark 16, we saw last week, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. 2 Peter 3 says that God is not willing that anybody should perish. Acts 10 says that God is not a respecter of persons. I believe that we are all called, but in reaction to that theology, I think many have gone too far the other way and said, no, it's all about us. It's about my response. It's all about what we do to save ourselves. That is an even bigger mistake. In Scripture, God always makes the first move in salvation. Let me put it this way. You are not saved because God answered your call. You are saved because you answered God's call. He called you to be saved. The scriptures are very clear on this point. The latter part of Matthew chapter 9, verse 13 says, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. That was the mission of Jesus, to call sinners. Acts chapter 2, verse 39, Peter has just preached the first gospel sermon, and in verse 38, he said, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then in verse 39, It says, this promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. And then a few verses later in that same chapter, this is a great section in the New Testament. It says, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Look at one more verse with me from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. It says, But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. I hear people say all the time, I found the Lord. I've got news for you, friend. God found you. You were lost. He has always been in the same place. Now, this does not mean that God coerces. God calls, but God does not force. Even in Acts 2:39, when Peter said that the promise is for all whom the Lord will call, the very next verse says, so save yourself from this generation. So we're saying when God calls, you do need to respond, but please understand that your choice first is a response to his choice. Otherwise, we would start boasting in how well we choose. Look at one more verse with me from 2 Peter chapter 1. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. You see, you didn't answer the call to salvation because you are so good. You answered it because God is. He called you because he is good and gracious. Do you remember when you answered the call? Let me tell you why many people get saved and it never shows up in their life. Because if you got saved because your friends put pressure on you at camp or because your family was expecting you to walk down an aisle, then you didn't answer a call. Salvation that is real and lasting bears fruit. And it is the response to hearing God say to you, come. And if you have done that, if you have not done that, if you have not placed saving faith in Jesus, then friend, you have a call waiting. You are called to be saved, but also we are called to be changed. God calls us to be something before he ever calls us to do something. That's because you cannot succeed in what you do if you fail in who you are. And who you are is a new creation enabled by the Holy Spirit to reflect the character of Christ. You have been saved and called now to live in such a way that Jesus looks good. You are called to be changed. And God is working through all the circumstances in your life to make this happen. Look at one of the best known verses in the Bible out of the 8th chapter of Romans. It says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now, he does not say that all things are good. He said that God can work in anything going on in your life because you have been called to live out God's purpose. Well, what is God's purpose? What is God working in all of your life circumstances to do? Look at how it continues. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Friends, we have been called. We have been set apart to be like Jesus. And the word that often is used for this in the Bible is the word holy, because it means, literally, set apart. 1 Corinthians 1:2, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 7, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. By the way, in that particular passage, the context is sexual purity. And let me just take a quick moment and say something that does need to be addressed. Following Jesus involves holiness. It involves sexual purity. That means that sex is for marriage, period. You are not called to be having sex outside of marriage in any form or any manner. The Bible says this is what you were called to. Do you know why? Because the Bible says marriage is an illustration to the world of Christ's own faithfulness to the church. So if you are having sex with anybody except for your husband or your wife, and friend, that is the only thing that defines marriage, one man, one woman for life. If you are doing that, then you are living outside of God's calling on your life. What God wants is for people to see through your behavior on the earth what he sees through the blood of Jesus in heaven. And what he sees is a pure and a holy bride washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's why the word that God uses for us more than any other in the New Testament is the word saints. The set apart, the holy ones. And all through the Bible, we are encouraged to live up to our calling. If you're a fan of baseball, you are familiar with the name Oral Hershiser. He was one of the great pitchers in baseball history, but he had a terrible start. By the way, his full name was Oral Leonard Quinton Hershiser IV. This is not a good baseball name. His name was not a scary name. He was not a scary pitcher. He was a frail, skinny, lanky kid, and he didn't intimidate anybody. He was called up by the Dodgers, and one particular day he was having a very bad outing. Now, his manager was a man by the name of Tommy Lasorda. So Tommy goes out to the mound, and he grabs this pitcher by the shoulders, and he says, "Let me tell you what I see. Everybody out here sees a skinny, scared kid, but I see a fighter. I see a pitcher with some fire in his belly. I see a bulldog. So I'm not going to call you Oral Hershiser IV anymore. I'm going to call you Bulldog." And he leaves the mound. Now, Oral Hershiser said that that talk changed his career. He called it the Sermon on the Mound. He went on to become a great pitcher. He won the Cy Young. He was the MVP of the League Series and the World Series. In fact, maybe you remember Game 7 when they were playing the Mets to go to the World Series, and he was pitching against Ron Darling, the best pitcher for the New York Mets. Was there any doubt who was going to win that game? Because there was Lasorda in his dugout yelling, "Go get him, Bulldog!" And the other manager was in his dugout having to shout, Go get them, darling. I mean, who's going to win that game? You see, it matters a whole lot what you are called. And so the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. And if you are not living up to your name, you have a call waiting. One more thing, I believe. We are called to be used. God is calling everybody to partner with Christ in this adventure of bringing in His kingdom. I think this is the essence of discipleship, to answer Christ's call. Mark chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, we read these words. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to Him those He wanted, and they came to Him. He appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with Him and that He might send them out to preach. Later in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 13, we read that the church in Antioch, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And mission work was born. Now, a lot of people read those passages and they say, yeah, that's for those special guys. No, I think those passages are normative. I think that's what it looks like to live in the kingdom of God. Because the Bible says that when you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has given you at least one gift to promote the kingdom. So you have at least one calling to accept. All of you do. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of His calling, and that by His power He may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. God, in His power, is motivating and energizing your acts of faith, because this is your calling. In the fifth chapter of Galatians, we read, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." Why were you set free from legalism? Why were God's people set free from sin? Why did God call you out of bondage? So you could serve people, so that you could be a blessing to the world. This is why you were called. You see, servant is the highest calling in the kingdom of God. Now, our service is going to differ, but if we are answering a calling, it is going to be a joy. If you are serving because people have pressured you, or you're on some sort of a guilt trip, then your service is not going to be a joy, and it's probably not bearing any fruit. Our service is to be in response to our calling. And I believe that God orchestrates our lives, and He puts all of us in unique places and times so that in that moment we can answer the call to be an ambassador for Christ. God is asking you to be a part of a story that is way bigger than one you could ever write on your own. And if you are still on the sidelines, you need to know that you have a call waiting. It's not that God doesn't call anymore. It's that we have been afraid to pick up the phone. And I'll tell you the biggest reason why. We stall and don't answer God's call because there are a whole lot of other calls that we are answering instead. That's how life works. Life is a series of calls. Your job is calling. Affairs are calling. Sin is calling. Your hobbies are calling. Jesus understood this. In the third chapter of Mark, He was preaching to a room full of people, and His family came to get Him. You know why? They were embarrassed. They wanted to change His mission. It says they sent someone in to call Him. Jesus had to live every day deciding which call he was going to answer. And so do you. And there's only one way that you are going to hear God's call. You have to hang up on all of the other calls. You have to decide whose call is going to get answered. Look up at the screen. This is Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow's parents were missionaries in the Philippines. His mother was pregnant with her fifth child, which would be Tim. In the course of her pregnancy, she contracted amoebic dysentery, and she became very ill. The doctors gave her the only medicine they knew to save her, but they said, "This medicine will most likely damage the fetus. We recommend that you have an abortion." She made a choice for life, and Tim Tebow was born. That story was put into a commercial that aired during the Super Bowl in 2012, and it sparked a whole lot of controversy, sadly. In the midst of all of the goofiness over that commercial, Tim Tebow was asked by someone in the press corps about the commercial, and he was also asked if he was a virgin. And Tim said, "Yes, I'm saving myself for marriage." Some of the press snickered. But he asked the question, why does that embarrass you? You see, you may or may not like the man as an athlete, but his skill on the field was just a vehicle for Tim Tebow. You see, his calling was and is to represent Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. And you know what? So is yours. Your life is about more than just paying off your mortgage and seeing how long you can put off death. You have a call waiting. I want you to stand up. I want to pray over you this morning.